you like talent, you are in the right place. Welcome to another episode of the Talent Factor Podcast. I'm your co-host, Damian Parson, with my guy, my brother, as always, Keith Sanchez. Keith, baby, what's going on, man?
Mic check. My mic is hot, so you know it's time to talk some football, baby. DP, how you doing?
Hey, man, I'm loving it right now, man. It's just beautiful outside. It's not too hot. The sun's out. And you know, it's Friday, baby. You got about to walk into the weekend. So that's always a good thing. You know what I mean? So, you know, just really getting, like you said, we got a couple more weeks and we have a lot of stuff going on in terms of college football, media days. And that's what we're going to talk about with the Big 12 media day. But before we get into that, Keith, let's give a quick shout out to our partners over at BetOnline. Continue to be the number one source for all your betting needs and sports information. Find all the latest odds, news, and sports developments, including NBA Summer League, Major League Baseball, the latest fighting news, and even next season's early NFL futures. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code BELIEVE, B-L-E-A-V, to get the bonus and get into the action. Bet online, where the game starts. And Keith, I love that last part of that, where the game starts, because it always gives me a good segue into what we're talking about. I love it. You know what I mean? It makes it easy for me. But, you know, when you talk about the game starts, as much as we're anticipating, excited for college football, we got to get through the media days and we got to get through, you know, fall camp. And Keith, I'm going to kick it to you for this first topic, man. You listen to the Big 12, the new commissioner, if I'm not mistaken, he's the new commissioner of the Big 12. And you listen to, and I was listening to him a little bit as well. What are your thoughts after listening to him at his press conference from the Big 12 media day?
Man, so I thought that he handled himself well for all of the panic that's going around in his conference, right? Like, you know, and you with the USC and UCLA information, you know, with the Pac-12, you forgot almost that with the Big 12, Texas and Oklahoma are leaving us. Like, they're leaving the Big 12. So, man, you're taking over a job where your two heaviest hitters, right? Like, your two moneymakers of the conference, your two blue bloods, which we'll get into that later, right? They're out the door. So you're in the midst of having to fix something that's broke, right? Like, it's not a situation where you're just maintaining. This is broke for the Big 12, right? Like, they're two biggest programs. They're on their way out the door. And then the other issue is this. When you're playing, you know, you can play offense or defense, right? And I think the Big 12 went into the situation. They played a little defense. And USC and UCLA went to the Big 10. That would have been prime opportunity for the Big 12 to try to aggressively, you know, get those teams on board the Big 12. And not, you know, the Big 12 would have been back, right? Like, you lost two, but then you gained two moneymakers. And now you're kind of picking up the scraps of the Pac-12. You know, you got the AAC, you know, and just maintaining a couple teams from within your conference. So I think that him overall, he showed well, right, for the issues that you know, went about. And, you know, they talked about his background, right? Brett Yorkman, you know, they talked about him being a part of Rock Nation. So I think he's in tune with the times and what's going on with college football. And I really enjoyed, they asked him in part about the NIL, right? And he said, listen, this won't be a part of our brand, but I know that it's there in the sense of the fact that we're going to embrace it for how it needs to be embraced. And he felt as though he already had experience with it from Rock Nation being a sports agency, to where he knows how to, you know, kind of matriculate the waters and you know, and do what needs to be done. So, man, I think that he interviewed well, right? But the question is this, now moving forward, what do you do, right? Like, you have Texas and Oklahoma, I believe, for two more years at the most. And then now you have a totally new conference. I know it's supposed to be the Big Four, you know, as far as with the ACC, the Big Ten, the SEC, and then maybe the Pac-12 and the Big 12 joining. But if I tell you that whatever's left out of the Pac-12 once USC and UCLA, and whatever left out of the Big 12 once Oklahoma and Texas leaves, if I tell you that's going to be a conference, you're not really excited about that, right? So I think that it's so much that he has to handle. And like I said, you play defense, man, now you have to play offense. Like, you have to go try to if you want this conference to stay aligned, if you want this conference to still be intact in 5 years, you have to go pluck some other teams from some other places, find other ways to get, you know, money, revenue, and, you know, just really sustain this conference, because it's the Big 12 is in trouble also. Like, I don't think the Big 12 is just, you know, long standing by itself and it's going to be A-OK. So it's definitely in trouble.
Nah, and I completely agree with everything you stated. And listening to him, one thing that stood out to me when we talked about the realignment, I think one of the reporters asked him about, has he been in contact with some of the four teams over with the Pac-12? You know, he didn't talk to any of the Pac-12 teams. And he basically just said, hey, listen, we're open for business. And, you know, and he understands. He sees the writing on the wall on college football and the nature of it right now, right? I was listening to one of the coaches talk about, like, what's going to happen with, you know, when Oklahoma, you know, when Texas goes to the SEC, like, what's going to happen with the rivalry games and things of that nature? And that was a really good question. And just listening to him talk about, like, hey, understand, I know where we are right now and we're open for business. Meaning if there's four teams that we believe that can help solidify and add to this conference to make it formidable for, because at the end of the day, Keith, we know what all this stuff comes down to, these TV deals. That's what all this stuff is coming from. It's the money from the TV deal. That's why the SEC is continuing to grow. The Big Ten's growing it the way that they're growing. And just listening to him talk, you could tell he understands that, right? So that was, to me, that I liked him being open about that. Hey, we're open for business. We're trying to get, if somebody wants to talk about joining us, I'm all for it. And then just his overall, like you talk about the NIL, his overall attitude, man. Like, I just liked the vibe he provided. You know, he was pleasant. He was open. He didn't mind. He didn't have, like, this, I guess, like, no arrogance to him. He was just like he just seemed like a really cool dude, somebody easy to talk to. And like you talk about his experience with Roc Nation, he's all for the NIL. Like, he likes the NIL. The only thing he said was, hey, we need to find some structure, basically. We need to find some type of way to hone it in where it's rules and regulations. But I think all of us have agreed that that's something that the NIL needs. But he's like, straight up, I support it. So for me to hear a commissioner or someone over a conference talk that well about the NIL, to me, it's just a different tune than we would have heard 5-7 years ago. Like, 5-7 years ago, guys were like, yeah, I don't know about all that. Now, we might, you know, we might talk about some stuff behind doors, but just we're not open to it right now. Now that tune is changing. I'm happy for that. So I'm excited to see what he's able to do, because like you said, they're not safe, Keith. And
no, they're not.
I don't know what's going to happen. I have no idea what's going to happen with college football in the next 2-3 seasons, man.
Listen, like, I'll say this. They have a house, but it's not protected, right? That house has all the windows are open and the door is wide open too. So it is not a protected house. I'll say that,
Keith,
much.
I'll go a step further. They got this house, but there's a for sale sign in the front yard, man.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
there's a for sale sign sitting in the front yard, letting other people know, hey, we can come in, and whether it's we could buy the whole house, maybe we can come inside and get some appliances. Maybe it's a yard sale. We can get them a couple pieces, but there's some stuff here that can be bought. And that's my thing with right now. Just, it's extremely hard to envision what the conferences will look like in about 2 years, man, when all these moving parts actually move. And it's like, okay, what will the Big 12 look like? What will the Pac 12? Will these even be conferences? We don't know. So it's going to be really interesting overall. And then talk about interesting. Man, Mike Gundy, like, he is one interesting coach, Keith. You know, he's still rocking the mullet. And listen, man, after that soundbite years ago, I always love Mike Gundy. Like, it's just, you know, that type of energy I always rock with. You know what I mean? He's a man. He's 40. Well, he was 40 at the time.
He was 40.
He was 40. He looks a little older now, Keith. Like, football is definitely aging him a little bit. But, you know, they asked him about, because, you know, OK State, you know, they were one of the top teams, as we talked about, you know, on the last episode. They were the top teams in the Big 12 last year.
Mm-hmm.
Had a great defense, good run game, dual threat quarterback. They had everything, right?
And one yard away from winning the Big 12 championship. 1 yard away.
Right, 1 yard away. So it's like, man, like, think about what he talked about. Like, man, we got almost all our guys back, right? All our important guys, they have coming back. And the reporter basically asked, like, you know, Ask him about becoming a blue blood. And when you hear that term, Keith, like blue blood is, you know, there's certain terms you just don't throw around loosely, right? You know what I mean? You don't throw the word elite around loosely about quarterbacks in the NFL. You don't throw superstar around in the NBA. It's just not something, there's certain terms you just can't throw loosely. In college football, becoming a blue blood isn't something that's just we do it overnight, right? Like you got to build that success with championships and a legacy. And he says, you know, it's all, a lot of it's based off of the big win against Notre Dame at the end of the season. You know, that was a good win, Keith. But I'm pretty sure, if I remember correctly, I think defense coordinator was gone and Brian Kelly was leaving. You know, he dipped out to get ready for, you know, to come down to LSU. And so I'm like, okay, it's a good win, but there's some context to it that needs to be thrown in there. When you hear him talk about becoming a blue blood, for me, like I said, it's just not something like you got. I still think you got a long. You in the Big 12. Yeah, you okay?
I'm
you got a long way to go.
Yeah, you're trying to lace me up for a question, right? And I look. Yes. You always have to ask the question. If you're asking me, is Oklahoma State a blue blood? No. Will they be a blue blood in the next 20 years? No. Do I foresee them being a blue blood in the next 50 years? The answer is no. Do they have an opportunity? Like, think about this, right? And because this got me going. I came in this podcast episode pretty much relaxed, but this got me going. Your biggest claim, however you want to phrase it, right, is the fact that you get to beat Oklahoma, right? Well, Oklahoma is leaving in 2 years. So you're not going to get, you know, credit, whatever, you know, how we call
Texas
it.
Texas too.
Yeah, Texas is leaving too, right? So that's your biggest claim to fame by being Oklahoma State is that, you know what, that rivalry game, they may be able to beat Oklahoma or they may be able to beat Texas. Both of those guys out the door. So you have nothing else to kind of, you know, hinge yourself to kind of anchor yourself to help elevate you. It's kind of one of those things where, you know, when they say like what boxing matches or something like that, right? Like, and you're like, man, it makes no sense to fight that guy, right? Because one person had everything to gain, the other person doesn't. And that's how Oklahoma was. They get nothing for really beating Oklahoma State, right? But right. Oklahoma State gets a lot. But now that kind of, you know, that team that's able to trampoline you into the into the big media is gone. So I don't see how Gundy can sit there and say that, man, maybe we'll be a blue blood. And listen, you can be the best team in your conference, right? Like Houston is the best team in the AAC, right? And, you know, we have other teams that's the best in it. But I don't mean you're a blue blood. Like I get it. You all in. You feel good. You're the head coach. Y'all came 1 yard of winning the Big 12 championship. But, man, you fall from being a blue blood, my brother. Like, you have a lot more prospects to put into the NFL. You have a lot more conference championships that you have to win. Matter of fact, talking about conference championships, you don't even know what's your conference, right? So, there's a barometer to becoming a blue blood. Like, what is the history of Oklahoma State? And when I say Oklahoma State, what do you think of, right? Like, I don't know what to think
Barry
of.
Barry Sanders?
Yeah, maybe Barry Sanders, maybe Dez Bryant. I think of Marcus Smart.
Justin Blackman.
Yeah, and that's it. But when you think of Texas, right, you think of Oklahoma, you think of Ohio State, you think of, you know, Alabama. You think of, because I think what he was trying to do was say that we have potential to be one of the new blue bloods, right? Like the Clemsons. I would even consider LSU as a newer blue blood because before 1999, right, they were not relevant. It wasn't too many conference championships they won. But when you have – imagine the amount of talent that they've put out. Like they've won 3-4 national championships in a 20-year span. Like you have to get one first, right, before you consider yourself a blue blood. So like I said, I appreciate the comment. I appreciate the fact that he's that optimistic about Oklahoma State. But if you're asking me if I see it, I don't see Oklahoma State becoming a blue blood no time soon. It's unfortunate.
I'm going to tell you, Keith, I envisioned you being spirited, but I didn't know it was going to get you going that much. But I'm glad it did because I agreed still because, as you talked about, what's the path? Like, there is no path for you to become a blue blood unless you decide to say, hey, I'm going to the SEC too. You know what I mean? Like, because right now you know about recruiting and you look at, okay, Oklahoma and Texas are both going to the SEC. So they're recruiting SEC kids now. Like, and they're SEC school, technically, going to be. And now you have, you're trying to compete with them in the same state. Like, it's just, I don't see the pathway for them to get quality wins, to get to the playoffs, unless they like go to 6 or 8 teams, which I don't foresee that happening. Maybe 6. I don't see no more than that. Still, yet, I just don't understand. Like, he's confident. I love it. I always love his confidence and bravado. But my brother, like, there's no path for you to walk down and say, you know what? At the end of this tunnel, there's a light, and that light is Blue Bloods for us. There's no light at the end of this tunnel for you, my guy.
Yeah, no, and you brought up something, and I think that's accurate, but they waited too long, right? Because yep. Texas A&M was not considered a college football Blue Blood, right? But if you ask me if they have the potential in 20 to 30 years to be considered a Blue Blood program, just as far as being one of the prominent programs, yes, they're on that path, right? Like, they've signed some top recruiting classes, right? They beat Alabama last year, who's not just Texas and Oklahoma. They beat a dynasty, right? Like, they beat a really good football team. So it's a little bit different. And you know, like I said, I mentioned the recruiting thing already. So if they would have had that angle, maybe went to the SEC, but now it's still just too overpopulated, right? Like, now you're going to the SEC, now you're right back with the guys that just left you. You know, you jump in there, Texas and Oklahoma just tried to leave you, and then now you come back. So it trying to get to the top of that ladder, and then we didn't even talk about the SEC East, right? You still got to go through Georgia, Florida, and the rest of those guys. So, man, I think – mixing in our last, you know, just what we just talked about, mixing in with Mike Gundy conversations, that I don't – Oklahoma State, they can be a good football team, but I don't know where they will go as far as, like you said, their path to the Blue Blood, because the Big 12 is up in the airs right now, right? Like, the Big 12 don't know which way they're headed, so it's hard to say that Oklahoma State at this moment has the opportunity to become a Blue Blood, because the conference that they're with is in a tough situation.
Not for sure. And I mean, and like you talked about, man, like, it's just no path. So it's like, for me, it's just like, I get it. I'm all for giving your players confidence and looking, saving faces, and, you know, in front of the media and answering that question straight on. But yeah, there's no chance of that, my guy. I just don't see it happening. But let's talk about the team that they battled with, you know, at the end of the season, you know, before they faced Notre Dame, Baylor. Baylor comes in as the preseason favorite for the Big 12, which, if I remember correctly, when we did the episode last week, I had Texas. I think we both had Texas winning as our prediction.
I definitely put Texas, yeah.
But Baylor is a formidable opponent, of course. How do you feel about that aspect of them being preseason favorites?
I think this is the voters saying that they just don't know. Right, like let's pick who won last year, because we have no idea. Dave Aranda's still there. Let's go with that team, right? Like, you know, and it's maybe the voters wanted to go what was against the sexy pick, picking Texas, like we did. But I think we probably right in our prediction. And the reason I say that is because Baylor lost a lot. Like they were a good running team last year, right? And they lost two of their top running backs. They lost wide receiver Tyquan Thornton. They lost Kalen Barnes. They lost Abram Smith. You know, they lost Jalen Petrie. They lost so many football players. I believe they lost another safety, right? So they lost so many
Woods.
Yeah, JT Woods. So they lost so many guys that it's hard to project them and predict that, you know what, they'll come in and they'll win the Big 12 next year. And then even when you look at it from, okay, cool, turning a page, we lost guys turning a page. Who came in that you feel like, okay, they're ready to rock and roll? And that's what went into my decision of picking Texas, because I said, you know what? At least they're bringing it or attempting to bring in dudes, right, via the transfer portal. And obviously Texas is not Baylor as far as the, I guess you go to the Blue Blood when it comes to recruiting. but, you know, I just couldn't with confidence want, you know, say that Baylor is going to win the Big 12. And I if you ask me, I think the writers and the people that, you know, were part of this poll, I think they are probably 0% confident in their pick. I think they just went with who won last year.
Nah, completely, you know, and again, you named off all the guys they lost, and it's like, yeah, they still have a good defense and you expect Baylor to be able to still be able to run the ball and follow their concepts and follow their tendencies and what makes them good. But again, at the same time, you know, no, like you lost a lot of talent, man. Like, I'm sorry. I can't get with it. Like, I look at, cause my thing is you go ahead, you put them on paper right now, of course. Like, how are you defending Texas? Like, how are you defending,
right,
you know, Quinn Ewers and Isaiah Nair and, you know, Xavier Worthy and Bijan Robinson and Jaleel Billingsley? Don't they also have Ajayi Hall too, right? Yeah. I think he transferred in. How are you defending all these explosive weapons after losing so much prominent veteran talent defensively? And that's where you hung your hat this entire time, was the defensive side of the football, because your offense was solid. It played complementary football to the defense. Now, I don't think that's going to be the case, Keith. So for me, I'm looking at, okay, if you make the case and say, okay, OK State, if you put OK State as, which I think they had, if I remember correctly, they had OK State as the third team in the preseason polls. I personally would put OK State above Baylor. They're bringing back their quarterback. They're bringing back, I believe, their offense, most of their offensive line and a lot of their defense as well, which was also a good defense and receivers. So it's like, okay, I don't see it. I don't see how Baylor is just going to, you know, leapfrog everybody else. But like you said, it's because, hey, man, this might be a little bit of a crapshoot. So we're just going to throw anything at the wall and whatever sticks, sticks. Like, and if that's the case, God bless it. But that's just not the way I see it. I think OK State, and again, for me, hey man, you know me. I'm drinking the burnt orange Kool-Aid right now, but I think Texas is back, and I'm leaning on Texas as a preseason favorite as well, Keith.
Yeah, definitely. Just to address that. And I mean, and that's the Big 12 in whole, right? Like that. Who knows with the Big 12, year in and year out. And it's not like the SEC where it's kind of who knows, but it's in a good way where, man, there's some really competitive teams and, you know, it's some high caliber football. It's like, man, who knows? Like whoever invents the new air raid / one offensive play, trick play that works, or who decides to play defense. And when I say play defense, decide the whole team's to 40 points instead of 50 points, they may win. And that's the weird part about the Big 12. So yeah, I don't foresee it. Obviously Baylor has a chance. And that's because shit, 6 of the 12 teams have a chance to win a conference championship, right? In the Big 12. So I don't know. We'll see. We'll see how it pans out.
Horns up, baby. Horns up. Hey Keith, let's talk about real quick to close this out. Texas Tech and their new head coach, Joey McGuire, that kind of pivots right from Baylor, because he was on the Baylor football staff for a couple years, man. And reading up and listening to them talk and what he's done, for one, I just liked his whole entire just demeanor. You know what I mean? And that was big for me. You know, that's one of the things I look at when I'm looking at coaches, just how they handle themselves in front of the media. You know, just a well-spoken guy, really confident. But looking at what he's able to do in terms of, you know, that this team, even going back to Cliff Kingsbury, it's been an air raid offense, right? They're bringing in former Western Kentucky offensive coordinator that helped coach Bailey Zapp to be the leading passer with over 5,000 yards in college football last year. He's now the offensive coordinator over at Texas Tech, and they're talking about changes to the offense, Keith. And it's not a true air raid. It's going to have air raid concepts, but this isn't going to be a true air raid. They're
explain this to me, because we hear that a lot, right? Like, no, this is air raid with run principles, or this is air raid with a new concept behind it. So
they're talking, it was interesting because they talked about being balanced as an offense and running the ball, which is something most air raid offenses don't do, is lean towards being balanced. And he talked about having, hey, we got three good tight ends. We got four good receivers. We're going to get the best 11 on the field, and we're going to play complementary football. You know, he's like, I'm a defensive coach. So looking at this, Keith, and reading these tea leaves, I'm kind of excited for this, like, because at the end of the day, this pure air raid has done nothing for Texas Tech. Like, it's done nothing, right? Like, you know what I mean? Besides when Mahomes was there, like, it's really done nothing. It's not many offensive players that you can point to and say, man, they've been so successful after leaving Texas Tech. What, Danny Amendola, Michael Crabtree for a bit, Jakeem Grant, but, you know, he's been more of a gadget returner. He's got the skills to be that dynamic player, but he just never kind of figured it out. They had Baker Mayfield. I believe they had Kyler Murray at one point before he transferred. Texas Tech is a – I'm going to be honest with you, Keith. For a long time, I really forgot Texas Tech was a football team. Like, because yeah, there's no shot to Texas Tech, but it's just like they're so – they were so forgettable. They were so forgettable, man. Like, because it's just like, okay. Like, I turn the TV on. I'm like, man, Texas Tech on Saturday playing football. It's like, oh, yeah, they are. They do have a football team. Like, you know what I'm saying? But it's like they're typically getting beaten. And so now it's like the, listen to what he's talking about. I think having a defensive-minded coach is the perfect pivot from everything they've done in years past, Keith.
So, all right, let me – man, you sound extremely optimistic, which, you know, which is cool. And I'm about to go the other way with this, right? So – when you talk about being balanced in the air raid offense, you know what balance is? Everybody think in the air raid offense, you know, I like, or they foresee the Texas Tech offense being balanced as far as they're going to throw the football and run the football. I think balance is they're going to make sure they throw it to the left and throw it to the right. That's what I foresee balance being. I'm sorry. I've seen this. I've heard this before. As far as Tech, you know, well, not Texas Tech. I'm sorry. Air raid offense is saying they're going to be balanced. Offensive coordinators do what offensive coordinators know, right? So if you came from the air raid offense, you know, throwing the football 60 times per game. Like, I think that This is what happens. Everybody criticizes the air raid offense because they throw the football, right? So now the offensive coordinators, they go back into their office and they say, man, we have to implement run plays, right? So they implement them. They bring them to practice. They run them. They know that they're there. But guess what never happens? They never call them. You tell me a top rusher that came out of an air raid offense, you know, and maybe we might – I don't know if we'll find one, right? We can't point to anyone. But I could tell you about a whole lot –
not off the top of my head, Keith.
Right. But I could tell you about a whole lot of quarterbacks that throw the ball 60 times per game. And I could tell you about a whole lot of quarterbacks that's threw for 4,000 or 5,000 yards in college football, right? So I'm just – I have to see it to believe it. Now, turning the page – I be having events sometimes, DP. But turning the page, right, and going to talking about the head coach, I believe in him as a person – you know, and getting that program to, you know, take a next step up, like in your words, become relevant, right? Like, remember that they play football. Because, like I said, just time at Baylor, I'm hearing a lot of great things about him. I even know that some people around the Baylor organization community, you know, they wanted him to get the head coaching job instead of Aranda at that moment. That's how liked he is, you know, just in the Baylor area and just overall in Texas, former high school, you know, Texas coach, and he's just well liked. So I feel as though it should affect recruiting some, right? Like him just having so many deep Texas ties and, you know, coaches wanting to bring their players to him, that things should change. But I think it's going to take a couple years, because even when you think about it, usually defensive-minded coaches, they have a philosophy of what? Running a football, protecting a football, and then playing defense. Like, that's usually their philosophy. I think that there's going to be a bit of a – man, what's the – you're going to see them battle back and forth with an air raid offensive coordinator and then a defensive mind head coach, because we haven't seen it before. Like, how does it mesh, right? Like, how – and you know what the word that comes to mind for me is? Complementary football. How do they play complementary football? And we've never seen this marriage slash relationship happen in between an air raid offense and a defensive minded coach that wants to, you know, play tough nose defense. So, man, I think it's going to be tough. You know, these first couple of years, hopefully they could get in some good recruits and then take off from there. But first point, I'm not buying in on the air raid offense and running the football. Second point, you know, Coach McGuire, I think he's you know, he should do well with the job.
Now, listen, when I read it, I was like, hold up.
You like, I could tell you weren't confident reading it, right? Like when you were reading the quote and it said running the football, like you know that didn't process to you, like and
no, that's
because you've never seen it before. And maybe listen, they will prove the Talent Factor podcast wrong, But I've seen this story time and time again. Mike Leach came to the SEC, said he was going to be balanced, right? He was, and he's been everything but balanced. So I'm sorry. And listen, this is no knock to the area, right? Like, it's offensive philosophy. Like, those are really good head, really good coaches, scheme-wise, very intelligent people. The point is that I'm not buying in is that they're going to throw the football. That's all I'm saying, right? Like, it may work, air raid, I'm all for it, do whatever you need to do, sling it around the yard, but you're not going to give me the buy-in that you're going to run the football.
And the wild part about it, Keith, the way that that offense can stress defense is making you cover every blade of grass on the football field by spreading you out, motions, all the things that they do. You would assume that, hey, let's get some, so, you know, especially when you got, because most of the air raid offenses that ran true to it have a back that can catch the ball out of the backfield, right? Yep. Mike Leach has one, you know what I mean? Like, you look at Cliff Kingsbury in the NFL, he had Chase Edmonds last year, he has Eno Benjamin this year. Yeah, it's just like, okay, all the things you can do offensively, you still like, man, I'm not gonna run the ball, because Cliff Kingsbury, like, for the year that James Conner had last year, there were some bonehead moments in the red zone. People were like, all right, let's give it to Conner. And he's like, nope, I'm going to throw it three times. It's like, you're at the 1 yard line, my guy. Like, why are you doing this? But like you said, it's the fact that as those coaches stick to who they are, they're air raid, they're passing coordinators, and that's their thing. They're essentially, they're 7-on-7 coaches, in my opinion. Like, they're that what you do is gonna work perfectly in 7-on-7, baby. But in padded football, where I can hit you and I could, you know, be physical with you, I need you to run the ball. So I know I wasn't confident, Keith, when I read the quote, because as I'm reading it and I'm processing it quickly as possible, I'm like, running, balance, complementary football, air raid. Those things don't land in the same bucket, Keith, but I'm interested, because at the end of the day, you know, in those meeting rooms, it's going to have to be a meeting of the minds. And whose voice is going to be louder, Coach McGuire or the offensive coordinator? Say, hey, if Coach McGuire wants to be balanced, who's going to win that argument in the meeting room?
Don't be surprised if they have some spirited conversations in those meeting rooms, because I do believe this. I do believe that Coach McGuire believes in his quote, right? And the fact that he wants to be balanced. I think that he really wants to be balanced. But you have an air raid offensive coordinator, so that's going to be tough, man. And just what people need to understand in coaching, right? Like, coaching trees matter, because that's almost the language, right? Like, you know, you could speak English, you could speak Spanish, you could speak French. Like, that's how coaching trees are. When you grow up in a coaching tree, that's what you learn. So if you have somebody that speaks primarily English/air raid, it's hard to tell them, like, you know what, man, now I want you to write a paper, but I want you to do it in French/, you know, a different type of offense. It just usually doesn't happen like that. And that's
it's
what
gonna
I
be an F.
Yeah, yeah. It's not gonna be good. So I think they're gonna have some spirited conversations, but man, like I said, man, I'm not wishing any bad on Texas Tech, and I hope it all ends well. I just need to see this. And matter of fact, with that quote, I'm going to pay attention to Texas Tech this year, and probably the first time since Michael Crabtree, because even with Patrick Mahomes, right? If you didn't know Patrick Mahomes until you won a Super Bowl, you had no idea that he went to Texas Tech. You still weren't paying attention to Texas Tech. But man, I'm going to pay attention to Texas Tech to see how this air raid run philosophy goes.
Nah, me too, man. Like I said, it's going to be interesting just to see it. And hey, at the end of the day, maybe he proves us wrong, but if he does, we'll come back and tip our cap to him and give him his due diligence. But shout out to, you know, Coach Joey McGuire. Looking forward to seeing what they do over at Texas Tech. But guys, as always, that is our show, man. Keith, is always good talking ball with your brother. As we creep closer and closer to the season, we will continue. We have some more media days, ACC, and I think SEC is next week. So we have some more media days coming up, as well as previewing more conferences as we get ready for the college football season. As always, man, hey, again, shout out to our partners at BetOnline, guys. Summer League is going on. We're getting ready for NFL. Go make you some money. Tell BetOnline. Use our promo code BELIEVE and tell them that the Talent Factor podcast sent you. But as always, I'm Damian Parson. That's my guy, Keith Sanchez, of the Talent Factor podcast. And Keith, what's our slogan?
talent is always the factor.